This past week, I'm sure you, as I, we've been struck again with the remembrance of 9/11. On the remembrance of 9/11, this week we have the issue of our embassies around the world and the unrest around the world, the losses of life, funerals going on. Some of your loved ones may have passed away. I've done funerals this week. It's interesting that in this week, as I was pondering and thinking about all of this, I even was booked to speak at a number of events that are going to be remembrance-oriented, and they're not until December. So I'm scheduled to speak at remembrance for things that on September haven't even happened yet. But we know that between September, not only for the first months of this year, that there are heartache and there's hurt and there's loss and there's tragedy. But we also know that between now and December, when I'm to speak, guess what? There's going to be heartache, there's going to be hurt, there's going to be tragedy. And I think within that, and I look at that, and even in some of that, I mean, I realize that our tragedies may differ and our tragedies may vary. And what may really send us off and just really shake our life for us may be different than what shakes somebody else's life. And that they're just as real to us. And they're just as meaningful and emotional to us. And yet, how do we deal with that? And how do we approach the tragedies of life? This issue of life being fair and life thinking of where we're at. And so I want to deal with this morning just the issues. Some of it is, how do we deal with the disappointments? How do we deal through that, perhaps a grieving process? What do we have to hold on to in that hope? And in 2 Corinthians 4, we find some verses that really speak to this, that this is nothing new, that people have dealt with this process and this project, the issue of loss, for forever and through all of time. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 9, he talks about this, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're never abandoned. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The issue of our treasure, he starts there by saying, we have this treasure in us. A treasure that's within us. And that treasure, anytime you use the word treasure, obviously it speaks of something very valuable. It speaks of something that's significant. And he tells us really what that treasure is in the verses preceding, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. He tells us that for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He's saying this treasure that we have, he put in our hearts, the gospel that he changed our life, the gospel that he has brought to us, that we have an understanding that we are a new creation, that he has changed us. We have the light of the Lord Jesus within us. Romans 5:5 speaks of that as well. He said his hope does not disappoint us. That assurance, and he uses hope there. He's talking about the assurance does not disappoint us because God has poured out. If you look that up, it's the overflowing out of his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. He has given us his love into our heart. He's filled it, not a little bit. It's overflowed within that. We have this treasure within us. The treasure of the Lord Jesus taking up residence. As we looked even in the past, a few weeks ago, the issue of the Spirit of God in our lives that he's poured out. We have a treasure within us. It says we are changed. Obviously, as we looked at that, Corinthians says that we have been changed. We are changed, man. He changes immediately. That we are old creation, now we're a new creation. He changed us. We are changed. Not you can be changed, not you will be changed. Oh yes, we'll be glorified when Christ returns. But right now, the residence within us, we have changed. He's given us a new nature. You are changed. You don't have to attain it. You don't have to work for it. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he's poured out his love in your heart. He's poured out this grace, this light. You have his light within you. You are changed. That doesn't mean that we don't face trials. But we must come from the foundation that he lives within us. It says we are indwelled by his presence. We are indwelled by the Spirit of God. That we have that indwelling within us. It's part of our life. It's now we have a spiritual DNA that takes us. Not only are we indwelled, he says we are strengthened. We are strengthened. Man, we need strength, don't we, at times? It says we have this treasure in earthen clay pots. We are human. We are weak. But we are vessels. And even that earthen pot that if dropped would crack and shatter, it still had a purpose. As you study about the earthen vessels in the history, biblical history, you'll find that they would take those vessels. Some would put things of great joy, a great preciousness in them, a great treasure, and they would bury them. They would bury it in the earthen vessel. We even now you can find archaeology where they dig and the earthen vessel has what? It's gone back to earth, but the treasure inside them. But much more common was that earthen vessel was used every day in the humdrum and the mundane of life just to be used every day. We are human, we are weak, we hurt. But in the same sense, we are a vessel to be used by God. He chose to put a treasure in you. Even more amazing, he chose to put a treasure in me. I mean, we are earthen and we are broken and we hurt. And our hearts will be shattered at times when we have disappointments, when those that we love die, when things that we love pass away, when relationships change, when jobs change, when relationships change. We hurt, but we have a purpose. And weak as the pot may be, it was meant to carry something. We carry a treasure. Unfortunately, I find in counseling and even in people, most of us tend to focus on us being a weak pot. Versus the treasure that he's placed within us. It's easy for us to beat ourselves up, isn't it? It's easy for us to look at ourselves and say, oh man, you failed again. Yeah. Why don't you just give up? And we focus on the vessel that we are instead of the treasure that he's placed within us that says, you're redeemed, I've changed you, you're indwelled. And the vessel itself now has a new meaning. The vessel itself has new significance because I am within you. And that vessel, you're carrying a treasure around within you. We are not alone, he says. We are never alone. I am with you always. In the midst of that disappointment, in the midst of that heartache, in the midst of that hurt, in the midst of loss, he is with us. I will be the first to tell you sometimes I don't feel it. I understand that. There are times when I'm saying, God, I need to somehow have a freshness about this. I need to see how you're working in the midst of this. Sometimes I don't. But it doesn't change the truth of the fact that he is with me, that he is with us. And so even if I cannot see his hand, I trust his heart to know that he is there, that he has me, that he'll never leave me, that he's changed me, and that he's going to give me strength to get through whatever the issues are. But he also says we are lighthouses. I mean, I thought of all kinds of words for this. I don't care which one you choose. You can be a window, you can be a magnifier, you can be a lighthouse, whatever word grabs you. But we are to be the visible representation of Christ's love and light and grace within us to this world. We are. He has placed it in our hearts. Did God pour out his love in our hearts, as Romans says? Did he pour out his light within us so that we could put the jar and close it all up and put it in the ground? No. That through that empty earthen vessel, as he fills us with his light and with his love, as he pours it out into his heart, that we're not to cover it, but to live it. We're to show it. They'll know that we are believers by the love that we have for one another. They'll say, something's different about that guy. There's a treasure in that person. Yeah, they're an earthen vessel. They're broken. But boy, look at how they respond. Most of you probably grew up in church if you grew up in church as a kid, with a little chorus, this little light of mine. You did like this, right? I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. What is it? Hide it under a bushel. No! And yet sometimes we may not be the bushel, but we'll take it in the earthen vessel. Put a lid on the earthen vessel. No! Let it radiate. Let all the holes in your vessel, it may not hold water. You may fill the water up and you sprout like a can. But the reality is his light comes through us in that. Our weakness, our holes, the things that we fail, that God's light can see how we respond within that. We have treasure. We are treasure. He placed it within us. Unfortunately, the reality of life is that there's trials of every sort. Now listen to me. I don't believe after, you know, 55 years on this earth and some of that never thinking, but I don't believe that some people will say, yeah, there's trials, but the only trials that really God really cares about are the trials that you're facing because of your persecution for Christ. I don't believe that in a moment. I just don't. I believe that it is for the trials of life itself. Those things that you have no control over, that will assault your heart and your life. I believe there are issues of our trials that are family issues, work issues, relationship issues, money issues. Yes, there are. There's no doubt there's times we need to be wise, and many of the trials that we face are because of our own, no little kids here, stupidity. That we make wrong choices and we suffer the consequences of those. I understand that. But God still cares about those. I fully believe that if something affects you, no matter what it may be, that if it affects you, I believe God cares about that. If it affects his child, I think he cares about that. As you as a parent, what your child may not, child may be upset about something. Do you look at that child and say, oh, it just doesn't matter. Get over it. Some will. But if your child's hurting, you hurt. You hurt when they hurt. You share that hurt. And I think God is the same way. Regardless of the trial, regardless of whether we brought him on ourselves, regardless of our stupidity, regardless of our wrong choices, that he is still with us. He cannot separate himself from us. His light is still within us. And hopefully we learn from him. Hopefully we learn from the trials that God brings or that we bring upon ourselves. But the truth of the matter is that God cares regardless. You've heard me say before, when the cup of our life is shaken, what spills out? What spills out? Troubled but not distressed. Perplexed but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Trials of every sort. But I do believe there are some things that trials reveal in us. I think trials reveal the foundation of my faith. Trials reveal the foundation of our faith, of my faith. I read that people are like tea bags. If you want to know what's inside them, drop them in hot water. And you drop a tea bag in hot water, and what starts to come out, you start to see. Is our foundation today on ourselves? Is it on me? Are you the controller that says, I got to control my destiny, I got to control, and I got to control everything and fix everything, and so we want to control it? Is your foundation your own merit, your own worth, or is it on Christ? What is the foundation of my faith? Is it him or is it me trying to be God? I think trials also reveal the strength of my commitment. The strength of my commitment. What were you expecting when you came to know Christ? I know there are people today on the TV and people speaking that are going to paint this issue that come to know Christ and all is roses. And it's not true. The health, wealth, the prosperity gospel, that God wants you this and God wants you that. God wants you healthy. God wants you wealthy. God wants you all these things. And boy, it's a lack of your faith if you suffer trials. You will not find that in God's word. Sorry. In fact, he says just the opposite. If you're going to come to me, you understand you're adding a burden to your life. You're adding a care to your life. You're taking up your cross daily and follow me. And you will suffer just like every other human in life. But you will also suffer for doing good. You will suffer for bearing the name of Christ. But coming to know Christ doesn't exempt you from the trials of this life. You will have flat tires. You will run out of gas. Your car will break down. All the things that go on in life will happen to you just because you're a believer. And this idea says, well, I'm a believer and God doesn't care about me because and the strength of our commitment. There's some, the first trial they hit, where are they? They're going, well, God just failed me. Okay, I guess. But do you have an expectation of God that God couldn't meet? That God never promised to me? Where's the strength of my commitment? I mean, sometimes you see these movies about living in a bubble. And I think some people come to know Christ and they live in a God bubble. They're shielded from everything that's going to ever happen. I'm never going to have hurt. I'm never going to have a toothache. Wouldn't that be great? I'm never going to have any of these things. We want to live in this little God bubble. And we walk around, oh, isn't it cool? I'm in my own bubble. But what happens when the bubble pops? If the bubble's based upon you and you start to, oh, man, what's happening? The strength of our commitment. He calls for endurance. He says, listen, to take up your cross and follow me. And he's going to give you the strength to do that. That's what's great about it. But going and knowing Christ doesn't exempt us from the world's affairs. We are in this world. We're not to be of this world, but we will suffer if this world does. I think the trials also reveal the level of my maturity. I think trials really do reveal the level of our maturity. You can talk it, and you can sound so spiritual. You can quote the verses, and you can know them. You're easy to give up. Well, Jesus said, God would want you to do this, and all the things that he... And you have all the lingo down of what it says. But when trouble comes, or you don't get your way, or you look at someone else who seems to be getting more than you, and yet you've determined that they're wicked, and why are God blessing them? And man, the people start to have a meltdown. Why are they getting that? And why did God do this to me? And it shows the level of maturity. Your spiritual maturity really shows at that time. That you can know all these things. You can have all the words down, all the platitudes, all the things, and really not have a spiritual maturity of a depth of understanding. I think it also reveals the healthiness of my attitude. We're instructed to encourage others. The trials, when it comes upon us, we're instructed to encourage others, to stimulate others. Some of you should try that sometime. It'd be a new experience for you. Instead of talking about yourself and your problems, focusing on your hearts, try magnifying Christ. Try lifting up the name of Christ through it all. What would bring honor and glory to him? Consider God. Invest in someone else within that. The attitude. Is your attitude one of contentment? Do you have a godly contentment that says, God, I don't need all that. I know you're with me, even in the midst of my hurt. Do we have joy in the midst of our suffering? I think also trials reveal, though, the measure of my teachability. The measure of my teachability. When we face things, I think, okay, God, sometimes we need to step back and say, okay, God, I'm listening. Samuel, it's not me calling you. God's calling you. Better, pick up the phone. Okay, God, I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening to you, and I'm going to listen to other broken earthen vessels who have the light of the treasure within them, who may not be going through what I'm going through right now, but may have, and I'm going to listen to them, and I'm going to be teachable. I'm going to use the wisdom of those who have gone before, so maybe I can learn something from this. The issue of teachability. Folks, I know some people get all upset and all uptight when people get angry at God, and they may say things, they may do things that just really, you can't say that about God. I don't believe that God is afraid of any of your emotions. I don't think God's afraid of any of your anger. I think God is a loving God who cares for you and say, okay, ask the questions, but are you willing to listen? Are you willing to take the answer? Are you willing to say, God, man, I'm angry, God, why is this happening? And then come back and say, okay, God, what is it you're teaching me through this? I think some of this comes from our view of God. Because the view of God in our life is really big here. Some of you come from a view of God where he's gracious and he loves and you don't have to struggle to find that love. Others come from a more of a legalistic background or a background of real, where a condemning God, where he's always looking to condemn you. And so you either respond out of that way in grace and thank you, God, for being a gracious God, or God, go ahead and condemn me because I'm an earthen, broken vessel and I'm not worthy. Perspective. How often do we hear that word? How often do we say that word to others? How often do we respond to others who are hurting? You may see somebody hurting and you can say to somebody, well, how can they feel this way about that? Isn't that dumb? Isn't that ridiculous? How can they... And we respond with perspective. There's some really, really bad perspective, and sometimes it's just given out of not knowing what to say. But when a husband or wife, when a family loses a child, well, at least you have the other child, or at least you can have more kids. That perspective lacks compassion. The issue of perspective in our life, we need perspective. There's no doubt. when you lose someone that you love. Well, you know, but they were old. Yeah, you expect them. They were old, but they lived a good life. See, perspective can be really great, but perspective, if given without love, lacks compassion. And compassion is what is needed. God is the Father, it says, of all comfort and all compassion. That's his heart, is all comfort and all compassion. That he will comfort us and give us compassion in all of our trials, all of them. All of them. Why? So that we, as earthen, broken vessels, will turn around and give compassion and care to those who are hurting in all of their hurts, regardless of the cause, regardless of how serious it is to us, regardless of the perspective. Perspective may be correct, and it will be needed, and it often comes. But some people just have the attitude of, well, just get over it. Just get over it. And I think there are times when we come into life, if we've been identified by a problem or if we've been identified by a hurt, pretty soon somebody needs to come in spiritually with love and compassion and say, it's time to move on. I understand that. But some people are flippant. Well, it's not my reality. I don't understand why you'd be hurting that, so just get over it. It's not about our reality. It's about the person who's hurting. Some are quick to tell you that they should be grateful, but often without love or understanding. It may not be important to you. Their issue may seem ridiculous, but it is their reality. Love them where they are. Perspective will come. Love them where they are. Perspective will come. But he also says there's triumph. We have treasure in earthen vessels. We have trials. But he says there's triumph. He says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Don't lose heart. Guard that heart. Don't lose your heart. Know that God is with you and he cares for you. He says we can be renewed daily. Outwardly, wow, we can be falling apart. Outwardly, we're wasting away. Outwardly, we are stressed. But inwardly, day by day, we are being renewed. The outward circumstances do not have to dictate our inward attitude. Did you listen to me? Our outward circumstances do not have to dictate our inward attitude. Be in the Word. Be praying. Be writing. Write down your thoughts. Write down your prayers. He says to be focused on Him. He says to fix our eyes. He says to gaze, fix. Don't be distracted. See the end. Yes, we will have trials here. Expect it. But triumph is available, not only eternally, but right now, inwardly, that we can have triumph, that God knows you, God cares for you, God loves you, God's with you. So what? Really, there's so what here, as you look at trials in your life, as we look at hurts, no matter how deep or how insignificant to some. You can have an attitude of your life of poor me, or praise God. It's easier to have the poor me, usually, isn't it? I mean, it really is. It's human. But the supernatural response is, praise God. God, let me see honor and glory to you in this. How can we see honor and glory to you? To praise God, not just be poor me. It is amazing to me how trials turn to triumph so much faster in a person's life when one's attitude is praising and trusting God in the midst of them. In the midst of them, how those trials turn to triumph. A writer named Clyde Gordon writes, and I found this and I thought it just spoke to me, I'm going to give it to you. It says, Christ is no security against storms, but he is perfect security in the storm. He does not promise an easy passage, but he does guarantee a safe landing. We're going to have storms. We're going to have national storms, local storms, personal storms. But he is with us. He will always be with us. He knows your heart. And we as a group, a body of believers, need to be sensitive, caring, compassionate to those who at even times in their lives are hurting. We sang a song, and as I sat and listened to that song, I wondered, did we mean it? That he's always enough. Do we really mean that? We can sit here and raise our hands because life right now may be good for you. Oh, he's always enough. But in the midst of that storm, will you really believe that he's always, always, always enough? For he is. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I know there are those this morning who are broken. I know from the emails and the phone calls this week that there are those who are struggling through issues. Father, not just as a nation, not just as a country, not just as a world, but as individuals, many have hurts today. Many are broken. Many are focusing on the vessel, their own vessel that they feel is useless. But I pray that today they would leave knowing that in this broken vessel you have placed a treasure. And that treasure is the love of the Lord Jesus and the life of Jesus. So God, I pray that today as we leave here, we will truly know that you are always enough. You will always be enough. I pray for those of us here that we will be sensitive to those around us who are struggling, that we will offer care and compassion, and that God, we will be that visible representation of you. Help us today to choose to praise you in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the hurt, even with the questions that we have. God, meet the need of every heart here today. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.